What can we realistically expect from the 2025 Giants? Well, you can certainly expect them to evaluate young talent for a lot of this year. And today we're going to talk about the young players from the Giants system that could play a big role in 2025. And can the youth be the X factor that gets the Giants back into contention? I'm Darius Lott, and this is Second and King.
Welcome to Second and King, your one-stop shop for everything San Francisco Giants. And now, here's your host, Darius Lott.
Welcome back, y'all. Welcome to the second edition of Second and King. As said before, I am your host, Darius Lott. And today, we're going to be talking about some young guys in the Giants system who I think could play a pretty pivotal role in 2025 for the team, some that are on the current club and some who might be knocking on the door. So yeah, without further ado, I say let's get right into it. So I'm gonna start at the top of the Giants prospect list. And if you are a San Francisco Giants fan, you know exactly where this is going. I'm gonna be talking about 6'7", 223 pound, 20-year-old lightning rod, Bryce Eldridge. Bryce comes with a lot of upside, and he has the potential to be the next homegrown star for the Giants. His eye-popping power from the left side has scouts and fans marveling at what he could do at Oracle Park. Drafted by the Giants with the 16th overall pick in 2023 out of high school, he's the top-rated prospect in the Giants organization, and he's the 24th rated prospect in all of baseball. He was originally drafted as a two-way player by the Giants, but his power at the plate was just way too enticing to just have him on the mound. So they shifted him to the field full-time and made him a position player. He played a little right field, but most of his games have been at first base, so he'll be a full-time first baseman if and when he gets the call to the big leagues. The thing that immediately stands out about Eldridge is his power. He has a 70 power grade among scouts. So if you know how scouting grades work, so like 20 is the lowest and 80 is the highest, you rarely see 80 grades. His 70 power is seen as well above average. That's how good his power is. Like in his first professional season in 2024, across four different levels of the minors, He had an incredibly absurd slash line. 292 batting average, 374 on base, 516 slugging with an 890 OPS, and he hit 23 bombs. Now, he did have some defensive issues at first. I don't think he'll be the smoothest defender out there, but thankfully, we live in an era where there's a universal DH. So there's that. They gave his arm a 60 grade, and he has below average speed, but they say, you know, he can turn it on when possible. He did have some issues chasing fastballs out of the zone, and he had problems making contact with non-fastballs out of the zone. So they still project he will hit for a decent average, and he'll still walk a fair amount. So Bryce Eldridge is not currently on the Giants 40-man roster, but I think the plan is for them to start him in AAA Sacramento, so he'll start the year there. And if he's just raking, I don't see any reason why the Giants shouldn't call him up. He could very well force the Giants' hand, and especially if they're having trouble offensively and they need a big spark in the middle of their lineup, Bryce Eldridge could be that guy. He could be your in-house option for a potential, you know, upgrade in the lineup. So we're definitely going to keep our eyes on him and see how he does. You know, he's got the invite to spring training. He's in camp. And I think there's a lot of buzz circling around Bryce Eldridge, and with good reason. I can understand it. I have that same level of intrigue and excitement for this guy because he just came through the Giants system like a wrecking ball. And if all things go according to the plan, we could see him in San Francisco very, very soon. So that's Eldridge. So we'll move on to someone else who, just like him, isn't on the 40-man, but with a strong enough showing, I think he could find his way onto the major league club. And that's left-handed pitcher Carson Wisenhunt. Wisenhunt stands 6'3", 209 pounds, drafted in the second round by the Giants, is 24 years old, and he is considered to be one of the best left-handing prospects in all of baseball. I believe they have him ranked 8th. And not only that, he possesses one of the best changeups in baseball. I'll give you an example. If you want to see just how nasty this changeup is, if you go to YouTube, the channel SFG Archive, they're a really cool Giants channel. They post a lot of different highlights and things like that. They have a nearly 11 minute video of just straight Carson Wisenhunt changeups. And it's pretty good. Like, I watched it at least twice, and each time it's like, oof, like that pitch is that's how good that pitch is. It's such a quality pitch. Scouts have given it a 70 grade and is effective to both righties and lefties. It sits in the low 80s and bottoms out the closer it gets to the plate. And he sells it in the speed as his mid to high 90s fastball. His fastball has some sink going into righties, and he can use it to avoid barrels. Scouts believe that he will develop a quality third pitch. He'll have to develop a quality third pitch to be truly effective. He has dabbled in mixing in a cutter and a curveball to, you know, moderate success last season. He repeats his mechanics well, great athleticism. He does have some command issues. He had a few issues in Sacramento last year. He did reach a career high last season with 109 2/3 innings pitched, to the tune of a 5.42 ERA and a 4.66 FIP. Not the best numbers on the surface. I believe he dealt with a foot injury that cost him about a month of play, but the increase in innings and the strikeout numbers are very impressive, considering that he pitched just 66 1/3 total innings in the minors, I think, prior to that. He struck out 141 batters to just 56 walks. That's a strikeout per nine of 11.6. So, yeah, I think the next logical step for Wiz is just seeing if he can raise his innings count this year. And that kind of something I hope for the other pitchers in the system. I'll probably talk more about that later. And yeah, just focus on developing that third pitch, you know, and then he's not too far away. I think Wisenhunt comes with a lot of upside, and the same way that Bryce Eldridge does. So scouts seem to think he could project to be a solid mid-rotation starter for the Giants. And I could see that too. Even if it doesn't work out with him in the rotation, his changeup is such a quality pitch. He can be a nasty reliever if, you know, it comes down to it. But I would like to see him continue to develop as a starter. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. But I have the same amount of interest in Wisenhunt that I do in Eldridge. And hopefully we can see him in San Francisco this year as well. Next person we're going to talk about, someone who is on the 40-man roster. So we're going to talk about former number one prospect in the Giants system, Marco Luciano. So he was once not just the Giants' top prospect, but he was one of the most touted prospects in all of baseball, was Luciano. And he hasn't quite found his footing yet at the major league level. He's one of those guys that when I mentioned at the top of the intro about evaluations, I feel like this applies to him the most, because the Giants really need to evaluate him and see if they see themselves going forward with him as a part of this team. Like, does he fit? You know, he's still very young. He's only 23 years old. So there's still time, but for the Giants, they want to give him every opportunity possible to prove himself. This was the guy who was labeled as Brandon Crawford's successor. So, you know, that's a big deal. Brandon Crawford, of course, franchise icon. You know, he was one of the main faces of the Giants for many years. He's beloved here in San Francisco. So to come into that spot after everything Crawford has done and he's meant to this team and to this city, it's not easy. So, you know, there's already high expectations right there. So as far as Luciano and his time at shortstop, there have been concerns of his defense. You know, he did not look the best out there. He committed some really crucial errors, like late in games last season. And his defensive numbers, you know, back up just how bad he was. He had a -3 defensive run save and a -3 outs above average. So with that, you know, they hastily tried to shift him over to second base. And he continued to struggle. In fact, he was just as bad. -2 defensive run saves and -3 outs above average again. And not only that, not just his defense, he didn't hit enough to kind of stick around at the big league level. He was kind of up and down. At one point, he was on the 26-man roster, but then he wasn't starting. He was just kind of there, and he might be lucky to get a pinch hit opportunity here and there. So I want to read here from this article I read. Shouts out to Maria Guardado. She's a beat reporter for the San Francisco Giants. She reported going back to the end of last season that they plan to transition Luciano to the outfield. And he had some interesting comments. He's very introspective about his current standing and his need for having a mental reset. Guardado writes, "I just worked to find myself again. I worked on trying to find myself again." This is Luciano saying this. "On being me, the person that I am, I didn't try to do a lot of different things. Last year, I just felt lost in the batter's box. I worked on finding myself and feeling like I normally do when I'm hitting. I don't have much to do. I don't have to do too much. I just have to be me." And that's interesting because there were times during last season where you could see that. You can even feel that. Luciano has all the tools in his offensive profile that are things that I think could be very beneficial for the Giants if he's able to put it all together. Like the way the ball, like have you ever seen this guy hit? Have you seen the highlights of his? The way the ball jumps off his bat is truly a sight to see. And he has power to all fields. He goes right center. He can pull the ball to left, you know, all this stuff. He can, like, when he gets a hold of one, he can drive it. And he can drive it a long way. So that's something that I think the Giants really, really could use. And I'm hoping with this move from the infield to the outfield that maybe this can just serve to take some pressure off of him. And they can finally unlock the full offensive potential that Marco Luciano possesses. And hopefully he can adjust to playing the outfield well. He seems to be very open to the change, so that's good. You know, he goes on to say, Luciano says, "I think I was doing a lot of things differently than I normally would when I was hitting. I didn't feel comfortable, but I worked on that. I know I just wasn't myself. It didn't feel right. I was struggling for the entire year, but I know I feel much better." So hopefully he comes into camp refreshed. He comes in confident, because if he can finally tap into that, the Giants are in business. If he comes in as advertised, I can see that as being nothing but good for the San Francisco Giants. Next, we move on to another, another outfielder now. I mean, he was an outfielder, I should say. Luciano is the one who just became an outfielder, but we go from one outfielder to the other. And Luis Matos. He's had, he's kind of in the same boat as Luciano, had some time in the majors, but has yet to find a consistent, like, role, some consistent production. He doesn't have the same amount of power that Marco Luciano has, but he has offensive upside. He has good play discipline and pitch recognition and can really make some solid contact with the ball. He's shown flashes of having untapped power potential as well as his impressive bat speed. He just needs to find more consistency. And lucky for him, the time is on his side as well. He's 23 years old, so he can definitely turn around. He has plenty of time. He comes into camp this year with a lot of momentum. He had a strong stint in a winter ball league in his native home of Venezuela. He batted 300 with 10 home runs, 41 RBIs in 55 games, only striking out 23 times in 235 plate appearances. And for his efforts, he took home Rookie of the Year honors in the Winter League and was seen as one of the best players in that league. So I tell you all that, and you're probably wondering, well, why is that important? That's Winter League. That's not the big leagues. Well, according to this article in The Athletic by Andrew Baggerly, his time in the Winter League could be essential to his development. Matos was quoted in saying that they threw a lot of breaking pitches, which is something I needed to work on, Matos said. I was glad to see that and just have fun. To play well in a very competitive league gives me a lot of confidence. As a matter of fact, taking batting practice, it feels like the season didn't end. So him coming into camp with that confidence could be signs that he's primed and ready for what could very well be his breakout season. We've seen this potential that he's had in small sample size. He had that tear in May that earned him National League Player of the Week honors, but the league, as we saw, quickly adjusted to him, and he was up and down between AAA Sacramento and the big league club in San Francisco. But if Matos can maintain what he did in the Winter League and then carry it over into camp, again, much like Luciano, it could be nothing but good things for the Giants. Like, it could really help spark them. And given how crowded the infield aims to be and like how little spots there are, there's going to be opportunities. So I look forward to like some very interesting battles when it comes to the outfield. Like, we kind of know where two spots are kind of, I would say, taken. Like, center field is Jung-Hoo Lee's. And I think given his performance last year, Elliot Ramos has done at least enough to earn the spot in left. But, right field's open, so it's up for grabs. Luciano is in the mix now. Matos is definitely in the mix. You got Mike Yastrzemski. He's definitely going to probably get a lion's share of the time out there, depending on how he plays. And, there's another candidate on this list that we're going to talk about that also could be in the running for that final outfield spot. So next, we actually are going to talk about a pair of guys here because they're competing for the fifth spot in the Giants starting rotation. So I just mentioned getting a spot in the outfield. Well, here we go with the last spot in the Giants rotation. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Kyle Harrison and Hayden Birdsong. So we'll start with Harrison. He's 23 years old, drafted out of high school, Concord, California, actually. He was drafted back in 2020 in the third round, made his major league debut in 2023. And the thing that immediately stands out about Kyle Harrison is he's got a very impressive fastball that got on opposing hitters very quickly. And the strength of that pitch allowed him to just blow hitters away. He used it to climb his way through the minors. And, you know, he got to the big leagues relatively quickly. The thing I'll start to say about him is he could use a little bit more polish on his secondary pitches that, you know, that he can pair nicely with that fastball, because his pitch mix to me is very raw. He relies really heavily on that fastball. So it would nice to see him add more, or, you know, continue to develop some of those pitches. I think he's got like a slider he works on, you know, but if he can continue to develop his arsenal, he can become a really quality full fledged starter at the big league level. You know, and he's also got a changeup that, you know, kind of needs, you know, I've seen him use it a few times. It looks pretty good. But yeah, it's kind of still a work in progress. If he can incorporate more of that into his repertoire, then to more success, you know, I think to more success he'll have, then he can, you know, really, really break out. One of the things he did fatigue last year, he pitched a lot of innings. So the velocity on his fastball actually went down as, you know, the year went on. He typically sits anywhere from, I believe, 96, 97. And he was riding around like 92, 93. So, yeah, he pitched 124 and a third innings last season to a 4.56 ERA and a 4.33 FIP. He had an 8.5 strikeout per nine and a 3.0 walk per nine. So the strikeout numbers are impressive. 118 batters sat down while only walking 42. But, you know, he punched a lot of guys out, but he did have some wildness to his game. He did walk a lot of guys. There was a game in particular I remember against the Red Sox last season. He struck out seven batters, but he also walked five. So he will need to correct that as well going forward. And with Hayden Birdsong, he actually has a bit more of a developed pitch arsenal than Harrison. He, much like Harrison, you know, has that high 90s fastball, but he's got a little bit more ride and run that allows him to miss barrels. And he couples it nicely with a upper 70s curveball that has good depth to it. He also features a slider that has, you know, horizontal movement and a low 80s changeup with some good fading action. So he features a legit four-pitch mix, which is rare in young pitchers. They typically tend to favor maybe two pitches. They may got, you know, a fastball and a changeup, you know, something like that. Something off speed and, you know, a heater. That's what they come at you with. And I think having a four pitch mix favors Birdsong. He'll just have to show he can command the strike zone and prove he can handle a full workload, you know, at the big league level. He pitched 72 innings total last year in the big leagues. He did log over 100 innings in his 2023 season in the minors. And he showed quite a bit last season of how good he can be. And, you know, it's a small dose, but, you know, there was some stuff there. You know, the numbers don't look all that impressive. You know, 4.88 ERA with a 4.67 FIP, 88 strikeouts to 43 walks. So both are front runners, both Harrison and Birdsong are front runners for that final rotation spot. If you asked me, I really like the upside of Birdsong with his four pitch mix. If I had to pick who might get that spot, Harrison definitely logged, you know, I would have to go with Birdsong. Harrison, I know, did log more innings, so that kind of, maybe that favors him, I don't know. But one thing I hope happens with these two, and not just them, but others in the organization, is that they put an emphasis on building these guys' pitch counts up and getting their innings up. Under, you know, Farhan, the Giants kind of adopted this 3-4 inning development pitching plan. And I don't think they're the only ones implementing this plan. There might be other teams in the league that are doing this. And, you know, they don't want to tire these guys' arms out too fast because, you know, they might need to call on them if there's an injury or underperformance at the big league level. But I think that plan just doesn't serve these guys well because they haven't gotten enough reps and figured out how they can manage a heavier workload if you're restricting them to 3 to 4 innings. You know, so I'm not saying like push them past their limits, you know, I'm just thinking like a more reasonable expedited approach to building their arm strength and innings would be beneficial for a San Francisco Giants system that is loaded with a lot of pitching talent, you know, so they should really be looking at trying to get better in that regard, you know, and continue to make that strength even stronger. And the last person that we'll talk about today is Grant McCray, drafted by the Giants in the 3rd round back in 2019. He just turned 24 years old, and he is a very intriguing prospect to me, like for a number of reasons. When they did the top, you know, 30 prospects list for each team, McCray wasn't on that list, but he has shown some really good ability at times at the plate and is a super athletic outfielder. Like he covers a lot of ground in the outfield, especially center field, which is very beneficial when you play in a ballpark with an outfield as big as Oracle Park. So yeah, that's a good strength to have. His offensive approach is he's a bit on the aggressive side. He strikes out a lot. He has some swing and miss in his game. Struck out 121 times across AA, AAA, and, you know, Major League Baseball. I believe that was just last season. Yeah, last season. But he has shown when he's locked in, he's capable of, you know, making some solid contact. This article by Stephen Kennedy of McCovey Chronicles talks about how his swing and how, and this is the quote right here, how relaxed and confident while boasting surprising power. Despite the lanky frame, when he made contact, it was loud. His average exit velocity at 90.2 miles per hour, his barrel rate of 11.8%, and his hard hit rate of 44.1%. were all well above league average. So, you know, if he can find some consistency at the plate, if he can cut down the strikeouts and, you know, maybe walk some more, then that would just be icing on top of the cake because we've seen what happens when he does connect. It's impressive, you know. Every aspect of his game is just interesting to me. And another one is his speed. You know, I mentioned how much ground he covers in the outfield. And with his speed, that's an area that the Giants have been lacking in for a really long time. You look up and down the Giants, like, lineup, there's not really a huge threat of speed or base stealing from them, you know. They tend to be near the bottom of the league, if I'm not mistaken, in those, you know, categories like stolen bases and things of that nature, base running, all that. And I think, you know, things like taking the extra base on a base hit, like going first to third, you know, things like that. I just would like to see more speed implemented in this Giants, you know, in this Giants team, because it's a skill that, you know, can be very beneficiary if they, you know, continue to add it as part of their game. And it's exciting, you know, guys running out there, swiping bags, taking the extra base, scoring on a base hit, you know, from second base. Like, who doesn't like seeing that? I like seeing that. That's what I want more of it. You know, we don't really have that. So I would love that, you know. And it's something that, you know, it's a spark for, you know, the top of the lineup, for the bottom of the lineup, you know, at any point. And yeah, I think Grant McCray can definitely help with that. He stole 43 bases in 2022. Only got caught 10 times. And then in 2023, he swiped 52 bags. Again, only being caught 10 times. His 29.2 sprint speed fell in the league's 93rd percentile. So this guy's fast, yo. That kind of speed gives opponents fits, you know? And if he, you know, even if he say he continues with struggling to put the ball in play, his ability to defend in the outfield and his elite speed make him a late inning weapon for the Giants, whether it's if that's as a pinch runner or a defensive substitution. You know, you can count on him. His dynamic is exciting to me. He also has a bit of swag to him. You know, he can probably fill a role for the Giants in that regard too, because let's be honest, as much as I love my San Francisco Giants, I love them to death, but they have been pretty lacking in like interesting, like fun players for the longest time. You know, we did get Willie Adames, so maybe he does help with that. You know, he's got a personality all his own. You know, we need more of that. You know, those are fun guys to have on your team, and they're fun guys to watch, and they're fun, you know, whether it's on TV or you're going to the ballpark. You need more of that. But I'm just rambling at this point. I kind of wax poetically about Grant McCray, but I like the guy's game. All right, what can I say? But I think that's gonna do it here for me. I've yapped long enough about this. Let me know what you guys think, you know, in the comments on YouTube. You know, I'd love to hear about it. You follow the show, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Second and King. I'm always there. Feel free to message me if you have any like Giants takes or anything like that. I love to hear it, man. I like talking Giants with just about anybody. But that's gonna do it for me. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, go Giants.